Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, big boppers, it's time for This Week in Music on the Tony and Dwight Show with Dave Jennings.
Hey, a lot happened this week in music, so let's get right to it. And of course, you can't have This Week in Music without talking about the king, baby.
What was that?
Oh, it's my king. Oh, it's my Elvis Presley. Imitation.
What day don't you work?
I don't work on January 8th because that's Elvis's birthday.
Let's get right to it because it's a big, significant day in music today because it was on this day in Monday, July 12th, 1954, when a 19-year-old Elvis Presley said, "I quit," to Crown Electric Company, and he took a job with Sam Phillips from Sun Records. Mm-hmm. Now, originally, the 19-year-old Elvis Presley was there to make demos of songs from other artists to send to other artists, but Sam Phillips soon realized that, hey, wait, this kid could actually break the gap between white and black performers.
Thank you. Said it the other day.
And the rest is history. He started recording as Elvis Presley and took off from there.
Can I make a suggestion?
I will allow it.
Do not pay the money to take the tour of Sun Records in Memphis.
Oh. It's a room.
It is a room with one microphone in
it. It's a room.
Is Graceland worth the money?
No. But that at least is the house, and there's a bunch of stuff in it.
You got to do it anyway, though.
Right. You got to do Graceland. You got to do Graceland just to see how kind of weird it is. But Sun Records is the worst tour you could go on, and it's not cheap.
Yeah,
okay, you pay on the building next to it, and then you walk across, and some guy talks for about 5 minutes. It is an empty room with one old microphone and, I think, a piano in the corner.
Yeah, but you talk to an old rock and roller like me, it might be worth it to me just to stand there for a minute and think about all the people that came through there. That's just me, though. Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, Elvis Presley. All right, let's shift gears to Monday still, but this was in 1986. Simply Red scored their first U.S. number one single, Holding Back the Years. He was a funny-looking man.
Like Raggedy Andy.
But luckily, he had a masculine voice to make up for. the singer, Mitch Hucknall, for Simply Red, wrote the song when he was only 17 years old while living at his father's house. The chorus, Holding Back the Years, didn't come till many years later, and then they recorded this in 1986, and it hit number one.
You said it was Mitch Whitten? Is that what you said?
I'm sorry, it hit what?
I'm sorry, did you say Mitch Whitten? No,
I'm sorry. John. It hit what?
It hit number one, he said.
No, it hit what?
Number one.
Number one.
Thank you. Oh, it's Friday, too.
Come on, man.
Underlay. Everybody,
Let's stay on. Let's stay on July 12th, which was Monday. This Week in Music in 2008, on July 12th, Rolling Stone Ronnie Wood left his wife of 23 years.
Aww.
Was there a wood problem?
It doesn't matter when you're rich and a rock star.
Well done, I say.
That's not well done. It's too easy. It's low-hanging fruit.
Apparently. Let's get some popsicle sticks and string.
As we hear the Rolling Stones song, Let Me Go, it was...
apparently was the good joke. The wood one was not.
Rolling Stone Ronnie Wood left his wife of 23 years and moved in with an 18-year-old Russian cocktail waitress. The 60 at the time.
Oh, that old story.
If I had a nickel.
I don't care about wood.
Russian cocktail waitress was only 18 years old. In 2008, Ronnie Wood was 61 years old.
Let me guess. She was Svetlana.
Oh, my God.
He was a dad of four. He met the teenager while out drinking and then took her away to his luxury pad in Ireland and decided, you know what? I'm leaving my wife. Here she is.
You know, if you ask old guys that, like there is like 60s and 70s, they'll go, good for him, good for him. It's like they're not like disappointed or like, man, come on. Good for him.
All I need to know about having a relationship with a girl that much younger than me. I sit in some of these sales meetings, and I'll make a Captain Steubing reference. These young little girls will look at me like a dog looks at a noise it doesn't understand. And I'm like, none of my comedy works. You're too young.
Yeah.
Let's go to 1985, because I bought this, and I loved it, and I may or may not have worn it out. I'm talking about This Week in Music. The nude photos of Madonna that were taken in 1977 appeared in Playboy and Penthouse magazines.
Oh, yeah.
I never knew that women could grow hair under their armpits until I saw this.
Kind of gross.
Kind of hot.
Ugh.
What are you talking about?
They had the matching carpet, probably.
Yes, and I support that. Of course.
I accidentally licked the microphone.
Oh, dude, go wash your mouth out right now.
I just wanted to note that that would not happen if you had a mask on.
Thank you, Dr. Fauci. Where's my bourbon?
The nude photos of Madonna were taken way back before she became popular. It happened in 1977, and then, of course, they got their hands on it, Penthouse and Playboy, and they both published them, and the rest is history from there. Let's skip to July 14th on This Week in Music, 1962. It's when the Beatles played their first gig. They played it in Wales, and they appeared at the Regent. Tickets for the show? You want to take a guess on it?
$1.
$5.
70 cents.
Yeah, there you go.
70 cents.
62, man.
Yeah, July.
First gig, 62.
July 14th, 1962. Let's stay on July 14th. And this story is just odd. I can't see this happening, but it happened. It was during a concert at the John Wayne Theater in Hollywood, California. We all know the Everly Brothers, right? Brothers?
Sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, listen to this. They're just so... They're just so soft-spoken.
They're just so... American nice. Good values and morals.
Listen to this. We're so docile.
What'd they do? Did they do something wrong?
Phil Everly smashed his guitar and stormed off the stage.
What?
Leaving Don Everly to finish the set by himself. They announced that the Everly Brothers had split. I'm done.
Everybody likes you, including Mom and Dad.
I'm breaking my guitar and waltzing off this stage. And that's what he did. He waltzed off that stage, smashed his guitar, and the duo didn't perform together or were seen together for nearly 10 years. This one has a little bit of twist to it, too. It was on July 14th, 1989, This Week in Music, when Tom Jones lost his paternity suit. What's new, pussycat?
He lost his what?
A paternity suit.
Oh, somebody sued him and said, this is your kid? And he said, I don't think so.
You are the baby's father.
He said, it's not unusual, but...
I like Tom Jones.
I love Tom Jones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Listen to that. Pussycat, I love you.
He was kind of a badass when he was in the 60s.
Of course he was.
Hung out with Muhammad Ali.
So it was on July 14, 1989, that Tom Jones lost his paternity suit and was ordered to pay $200 a week in child support.
Oh, wow.
$200?
$200. They really slapped it to him, the 27-year-old right. Catherine Berkery of
The
New
NBA
York.
Guys are going, I want his lawyer.
I know. Right, no kidding. I know. The 27-year-old was awarded $200 a week, but that's not the entire story. Let's dive deeper into this. The judge on the case that awarded her $200 a week from Tom Jones?
Mm-hmm.
Her name was Judy Schindelin, otherwise known as Judge Judy.
No way!
Judge Judy. You're making this right now.
It's 100% true. Judge Judy was serving as a family court judge in New York Family Court before she was a TV star known as Judge Judy.
How ironic, because she makes like $40 million dollars a year.
Yeah, no kidding, man. Hey, let's get up. Godfather Soul, baby. July 17th, 1965.
This was what Ronnie Wood did.
He got up. He got a brand new bag in the hot tub.
Oh, boy, there's nobody badder than the godfather of soul, in my humble opinion. King Records released Papa's Got a Brand New Bag by James Brown, and it went on to sell over 2 million copies, even received a Grammy for Best Rhythm and Blues Recording. Papa Got a Brand New Bag is also considered to be the emergence of funk into mainstream music, as we heard just a little bit of it.
That video... That video of him in the early 90s where his hair is all crazy he's high on heroin and he's driving a beat up pickup truck and they shoot out the tires and he's still racing around town. And you're like, look at James Brown, has lost his mind.
His mugshot.
He lost his mind. And again, I'll tell the story real quick about the story about where he does the, where he goes down to one knee like he's going to pass out or he's
right,
whatever, and then somebody puts a cape on him, and then he gets strength and he comes back up. he told the story of where he got that. He was about to go do a gig, and he was watching professional wrestling on television, and there was a character that did that to where he was acting like he was going down, and then somebody would come out and put a cape on him, and it gave him superpowers. He goes, so I stole that whole thing, and I added it to my act.
Who was the wrestler?
He didn't mention.
Flippy Pants Wilson.
No, it was not Flippy Pants Wilson.
All right, let's go.
I miss Flippy Pants, though.
Let's go to 1974, July 18th, This Week in Music. And of course, it's Elvis Presley again.
Shadows wave.
You ever heard this song?
When it's weary day.
Chances are you may have not heard this song before.
I long to be.
But this was, in fact, the very first record that Elvis Presley made.
1953.
So let me hear this a little bit.
1953. I'm sorry.
Shut up.
Every day I ring. Dreaming of your
team. That doesn't even sound like it.
I said 74. Pardon my misstep. I was looking at another story. July 18th, 1953, truck driver at the time, Elvis Presley, made his first ever recording. Now, here's the rest of the story on it. It wasn't made for the public. He paid $3.98 at a Memphis recording service, singing two songs. This one, My Happiness, and When Your Heartache Begins. It was called a vanity disc. Y'all remember
these
little
places? Right. Remember these places? Got a little bit. They had them in the 90s. Yeah,
they had them where you go in the studio, record your favorite song.
So it's like karaoke back in the day.
Mostly for drunk people or teenagers.
$3.98, the truck driver at the time, Elvis Presley, paid to have this done, but it wasn't for public consumption. No, it was for his dear, sweet mother. However, this song or these recordings that were meant just for his mother wound up surfacing 37 years later and became part of an RCA compilation, Elvis, The Greatest Performances. So it's weird. It was this date, or it was this week that he quit his job.
And this is the audio from the little record he made for $3.
This is the record.
Is it seems have gone by.
Wow.
There you go.
How are we just hearing this now? You know what? Pretty good get there, Dwight Whitty.
Yes.
Thank you.
Crazy.
Okay, let's go back to where I was talking about, 1974, when I misspoke a second ago. July 18th, This Week in Music, 1974, the U.S. Department ordered John Lennon out of the country by September
10th. Get out of here, Johnny.
The Immigration and Naturalization Service denied him an extension on his non-immigrant visa because of his guilty plea in England of marijuana possession in 1968.
Was that Nixon? Was Nixon still in 74?
No,
he was, wasn't he?
We can't have pot smoking going on over here, and you've been accused of it in England. The U.S. Court of Appeal would overturn the deportation in 1975, and Lennon was granted permanent residency status the following year. Of course, just what, 6-7 years later, he would be assassinated, gunned down in the streets by a coward. Let's go.
Are you sure you want to do this next story?
Oh my gosh, I just looked at it. Okay.
What? What's the next story?
Okay.
Oh no.
Listen with some history.
Okay, Paul, I'm doing the freaking story, okay?
You haven't been around.
Make sure to say the words. History!
All right.
It's my segment.
Just say history when you say it. This week it was music.
It was this week in music history.
No. This week in music
history.
Thank you.
Yes.
So you are on.
We're on board.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. It was this week in music history. July 18th, 2001, Kiss added yet another product to their merchandising universe, and I remember this. It was the Kiss casket. The coffin featured.
So stupid, but brilliant.
All four founding members of the band and the Kiss logo, Kiss Forever, on the Kiss casket. Now, you're thinking, why in the world would I buy a casket until I'm dead? Because it also served as a cooler.
No.
So you could use your own eternal resting place.
They were so smart.
As a cooler for beer.
They were brilliant.
Gene.
They
Gene.
Really were.
Gene.
You could also use the casket for...
What, Gene?
What?
So anyway, you wonder who bought one of them? Well, remember Dimebag Darrell from Pantera?
Yes. God rest his soul.
God rest his soul. He was buried with Eddie Van Halen's Bumblebee guitar, the yellow and black one. Eddie Van Halen had just met him just months before and found out that he was a gigantic Van Halen fan. So when Dimebag Darrell died, Eddie Van Halen said, look, bury him with this original Van Halen 2 guitar.
Damn.
He did that, and he was also buried in the Kiss casket.
Wow.
So, if you ever dig up Dimebag Darrell, you'll get a Kiss casket and Eddie Van Halen's original guitar, That's This Week in Music, July 12th.
No, This Week in Kistery. Music Kistery.
A lot of people say Kistery is cool. Kistery is cool.
Thank you, Paul Stanley.
Thank you, Paul Stanley.
All right, coming up after the break, we'll have a little Bloomberg Money Minute coming straight your way, and Haley Hansen will ruin the show at the bottom of the hour when we do Crusade for Children Trivia. Thank you for joining us today. We'll be back after this on News Radio 840 WHAS.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
WHA. Right, before we get to trivia, Dwight, you have something?
Yeah, everybody knows that my barbecue mentors is Brett Weatherby and, of course, the great General Stephen Bowles. He's cooking this weekend, not only ZZ Top, but also there's a guy by the name of Raven Sanders. This guy has been putting on a Stop the Violence cookout in Chickasaw Park for 7 years. Long before, the unrest in Louisville, he's been doing this. So, tomorrow, Chickasaw Park, Stop the Violence, 11 a.m. till 6 p.m., free food, and, of course, contributing to a good cause.
Awesome. Right? Awesome. All right, Haley, did you get your donuts? Here we go.
Well, Lily, come on now.
Gotcha,
we're professionals.
Gotcha. I know. Yeah.
Yes, I did. I'm halfway through it.
What?
I'm eating it one little sprinkle at a time.
Why did you give us you read us the riot act on our sales pizza party the other day? You got mad at us.
Yeah, because you didn't invite the newsroom.
Because it was for sales. We're trying to butter them up to make more money. You
ought
to make us money.
That's fine, but then why did Dwight say it was a whole station?
He worded it wrong. He worded it wrong.
And whose fault is that? Not mine.
It's not like the newsroom or media to jump to conclusions.
Real, no kidding. Yeah. No kidding.
or tell us that's news food.
coming
from Dave, who just walks in and steals whatever he wants.
That's your damn right. Because
can I say one thing about the newsroom? One time, he's no longer here, but there was a news reporter here, and there was a baby shower going on in our auditorium. And all the women, a baby shower was for the women.
Oh, no.
And he just
mouth the name of the person who
was. No, you don't know him.
I think I know who you're talking about, though.
All right, stop. Don't do it after.
His last name is this.
Ew.
Oh, stop that. Why did you do that?
And pluralize it.
All right, stop.
So anyway, he just hopped in line and just started.
Oh, I've got another one. Same guy, same name with the plural.
Right.
We had the Christmas party at some fancy place over there in St. Matthews.
Yeah.
Brought Tupperware. stood in line.
Yep, that it is the same person.
At the buffet.
Although, Dave, I'm ratting out on you. The newsroom was having a very serious meeting where we were meeting our new boss. Out of nowhere, Dave walks in, doesn't say anything, grabs a bunch of pizza, and leaves. We're all sitting there like, we
Good
were
boy,
having
Dave.
A meeting.
Good boy, Dave.
Hello.
Hey,
Good boy, Dave.
The greatest thing I used to, two things I used to love to do, practical jokes around here. Number one, when a new salesperson would come.
Number what?
Number one.
Number one.
Number one.
You.
Number one. The number one thing, whenever we would hire a new salesperson, at the time we had beepers, and they would print out. So I would call the person's beeper, and I would say, low battery. And they would say, hey, I had a low battery, and they keep going in Joy's office. I need a battery. What do you need another battery for? Yelling at him.
Stop it.
So stupid.
The next best thing I used to do is on a Friday.
Well, look, if you had a beeper, you were either a doctor, a drug dealer, or a radio
salesperson. The next
or all three.
My next favorite thing to do on a random Tuesday at like 4 o'clock, when Doug James was our manager,
yeah, general manager.
I would get on the pager and say, we have free pizza in Doug James's office, and people would just.
You're so mean.
That's true.
Mean or creative?
No, that's true. Okay.
Both. It's a fine line, really.
All right, let's hit the music. Let's
right.
get some money.
Help some kids.
We are up to $280 already. Good job, guys. We're going to go to $300 here for Crusade for Children. If you get 8 of the 10 questions correctly, they will share a brain. Dave Jennings, Haley Hansen, and Dwight Whitten.
Yes.
10 questions,
I would like to offer myself up as a lifeline.
Why that? Okay, a lifeline. You can't be involved because it's not fair.
Lifeline.
All right, because his one brain is bigger than all three of yours.
Because I'm a
together.
Scientist.
Doesn't use it right.
Question number one.
Okay, number what?
Number Kwan.
Aha. Number Kwan.
Question number Kwan.
Number Kwan.
Who founded the Soviet Union's Red Army?
Bill Cox.
No. Carl, you got to wait.
Was it Leon Trotsky or Joseph Stalin?
You know, I'm not up on my Russian news.
I would say it's got to be Stalin, right?
But that makes me think it's too obvious.
That's right.
Yeah, Trotsky had digestive issues.
Let's go with Leo then.
Yeah.
Doesn't affect his ability to form an army.
It was widely known he had poopy problems. So
this is a flip. This is a flip a coiner for me.
Yeah, Leon. What's his name? Leo
Trotsky.
Let's call him Leo.
Yeah, let's go Trotsky.
Yeah, let's go with Leo.
No, not Trotsky. That's something else. That's Yiddish. I think.
Stalin, yeah, that's a little Trotsky.
Yeah, Stalin loves Trotsky.
All right, final answer: Leon Trotsky.
Sure.
Oh!
Hey! 1-0. Here we go. Good job. Question number two.
Yes.
Okay. Who was the first player to win 8 NBA scoring titles?
Frank.
Jordan?
Frank 8 Jordan? NBA scoring titles. What about Kareem?
Oh.
Kareem.
No. But even better. What about Lou Alcindor?
Oh, I don't know. Has anyone ever seen them in the same room at the same time? It's got to be Jordan, though. He was the first prolific scorer.
Yeah, Jordan. I don't know. I think he's the greatest. Talking about.
All right. Jordan.
Jordan.
Michael Jordan?
Be like Mike.
Yes.
Final answer, Michael Jordan.
He was a basketball player.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank
Tony.
You. He's so smart.
Oh, he's long pause. Hey. You're killing me, dude.
Michael Jordan is the first player to have 8 NBA scoring titles. Mm-hmm. Question number 3. Who was awarded the first gold record?
Jesse Dixon.
No. Elvis Presley, Perry Como, or the Beatles?
Perry Como.
Yep, Perry Como.
Okay. That was...
Well, the other one sounded obvious.
I was trying to think of a single Perry Como song.
He had Round and Round.
Round and round, what comes around goes around.
That's it. Yeah, Rat did a cover.
You had the look.
Very good.
Look, you had the look on your face when Dwight starts to do math.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
So yeah, Perry Como.
Perry Como.
Everyone knows that.
Final answer.
Song
Perry
about
Como
the,
for first
the star
gold
song,
record?
Probably. Yeah.
Perry Como.
Perry Como.
Show me Perry Como.
It's too early in the game for you to do the long pauses.
Oh, my gosh.
Y'all are 3-0 and very surprised.
Bear walks into a bar, says, bartender, give me a Jack and...
Perry Como?
Coke. Bartender goes, why the big pause? He goes, I don't know. I was born with them.
Oy, put $5 in.
That's a dollar.
That's
really
a dollar.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm having fun.
Pause. P-A-W-S. Okay.
Yes.
It was worth it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Question number 4.
Mm-hmm.
What is the oldest surviving?
Oh, long pause because they had pause.
Pause. Yes. Wow,
there we go.
I was born with them.
Gotcha. Welcome to the party.
that's funny.
Wait, since it bombed, let me do my wife. Excuse me? I mean, let me. Since it bombed,
I don't.
Let me.
Okay, Tony, just keep the word. This is off the rails. No, we're off the rails.
You ready? Here's my wife.
Pretty funny. Question number four.
Yes.
Question four.
We've got seven to go through.
Okay.
What is the oldest surviving musical instrument? Keyword surviving instrument. It is a flute, a trumpet, or a drum?
Has to be drum.
The drum I don't think would survive because of what's across it. It's probably animal hide, and that wouldn't last.
Oh, I see. It's a loophole.
Question again. What is the oldest surviving musical instrument? It is a flute, a trumpet, or a drum?
It's not a trumpet.
I think probably a flute because it was made out of wood and they could do that easily way back in the day.
Thank you, Dave.
In some societies, they make flutes out of skin. And they're called skin flutes.
That's not... I don't think that's true.
You gave him an Italian. You're like, a skin, la flute at the end.
We learned about that in science school.
The final answer is a flute?
Yes.
Same town where they have the cork soakers.
Oh, right. Okay. Yes, we found one.
It's Italy.
Hey, can we
play
stop,
the game?
Please?
The children are, come on.
Let's go with flute.
We're going with flute?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. My gosh, that made me so nervous.
The answer is the flute, an ancient bone flute, estimated to be 82,000 years old.
You didn't need to add that. Now we're going to spend the next 25 minutes talking about overused jokes.
But it is the bone flute.
It is made
How
of bone.
How many times have we done this bit?
Dwight's wife, Susan, is really good at the bone flute.
The thing is, though, back in the day, it was tradition. It was only blown into on your birthday.
The fact that people even listen to this show, this is unlistenable.
I know.
If you're still hanging on, I will give you $20. I'm so sorry that you are subject to this.
Question number five.
Yes, okay, let's do
this. HAS is so much better than this.
No, really not.
Which of these...
You're part of it, ladies, so I don't know what you're saying.
Which one of these is not a position in the Kama Sutra?
Oh!
Okay, which one is not a position?
Okay.
The majestic lobster.
Bingo.
The splitting bamboo.
Okay, splitting bamboo. I threw my back out
ancient
on that one.
Ancient desire. Or, I'm sorry, accent to desire. Accent to desire or the pterodactyl.
Let's see.
I don't think they have a lot of lobsters.
Susan and I actually do something with...
It was lobster bamboo.
Let me give you the choices again. The majestic lobster.
Mm-hmm.
Splitting bamboo, accent to desire, or the pterodactyl?
The pterodactyl, I know, is one because Susan does it. She walks around the house and picks things up with her foot.
And just goes,
and then she tries to feed me stuff like a mama.
All right,
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Pterodactyl or the lobster. One of those has
to be. It's the lobster.
I can't imagine that they had magnificent lobsters when this book was written. Just a hunch.
I don't know.
Unless they found it in Maine.
It's majestic, not magnificent.
Oh.
Final answer.
Speak for yourself.
Final answer, what'd you say?
Lobster.
My favorite position is Congress of the Cow.
What? Nobody cares.
Okay. So majestic lobster is your final
answer? Yeah, the magnificent lobster, yes.
The
pterodactyl,
right?
The pterodactyl is so obvious. There's no... What is a pterodactyl?
Too obvious.
And Dave, there's lobsters in India.
What is a lobster going to do?
Is there?
Yes, and they're majestic.
Listen, people, making love to prehistoric birds is cool.
All right. Okay, well.
Thank you, Paul Stanley. Down.
In which U.S. state is it illegal to sell sex toys? Alabama or Utah?
Oh,
it's got to be Utah, right?
Well, Utah's the obvious one.
Oh.
It has to be Utah because Mormon land.
Here in Alabama, we grow our own sex toys.
Yeah, I would say Alabama because Utah's way too obvious.
Okay. Okay, Alabama.
Wait. It's a sex toy question. Haley, you take it.
Well, when in Alabama.
Thank God right. for Patrick.
Alabama.
You can't buy a flute in Alabama.
Final answer, Alabama?
Yes. Please be it.
If this is Utah, thank you.
Yeah. The easy answer would have been Utah, right? But you guys got smart and went Alabama. Good job.
Question number seven.
Okay.
Which one of these inventions was the first to receive a patent? Was it chewing gum, rubber band, or the dishwasher?
Oh, dishwasher. I feel like we've had this question before.
Chewing gum, rubber band.
Oh, I guess patent is not the same as, like, invention.
No, you can have an invention, but the first patent.
Patent, right, exactly.
Right. It doesn't necessarily go chronologically.
Listen, I think it's a dishwasher.
Well, go with the girl on this one.
No. I see it. Mostly does dishes, yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm just saying. Hmm.
She seemed pretty certain out of the gate on this one, guys.
Okay.
I'm Lobster Boy, man. I'm out.
Final answer, dishwasher for the first two.
Have we missed one? Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
First to receive a patent.
Yes.
Okay. Dishwasher. It was chewing gum, wasn't it?
The answer is rubber band. Ah. In 1845, Stephen Perry invented and was granted a patent for the rubber band.
And they said, should have been gum!
He was also the first guy with a monocle.
Right.
Dang it.
You were two down. You cannot get any other wrong.
Okay.
Question number eight. What famous general was once attacked by rabbits?
Carl.
Was it Napoleon?
Carl, I think he's right.
Napoleon, Alexander the Great, or Julio Cesar?
Julius Caesar?
Yeah.
No, Julio, his cousin.
Listen, I know you're Cuban, but come on.
Sorry.
I've never heard this story ever.
I haven't either.
Bunnies.
Well, it's not Caesar's.
It makes me think of Monty Python.
Right.
And that would have been Alexander the Great? No?
Napoleon's about the size of a rabbit.
There you go.
I'm thinking Napoleon.
Let's go with Napoleon.
Bonaparte, no accident.
What famous general was once attacked by rabbits? Your answer is Napoleon?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, the only one that the rabbits could defeat.
Stupid, stupid rabbits. I dare you cross this line.
Oh!
Correct. The correct answer is Napoleon.
Remember in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, they left him at the mall?
Oh.
You left Napoleon at the mall? He was a prick.
What Super Bowl? Here we go. What Super Bowl team included the last name of players Brown, Sims, and Romanowski?
Oh, boy.
The Giants.
Brown, Sims. Oh, Romanowski was a Niner.
Could it be the Raiders?
Oh, and then he went to the Raiders. Who was the Sims on the Raiders?
This is a trick question.
Yeah, it is.
Were they all there at the same time?
The Montreal, the Bad Boys came down that year for
the Montreal Bad Boys.
The Alouettes, yes.
Had met Mama Desky on
were
their
Were they
team.
All there at the same time?
Yes, on the same team.
Give me the names again.
Sims, Brown.
Brown. Oh, Brown. Brown was a Raider, so.
Okay.
Let's do Raiders.
Final answer, okay, Raiders?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes!
Good boys.
Last question is for Haley.
Okay.
And for all the money.
We got about a minute.
If you get this correctly, the kids will flourish and be good. If you get it incorrectly, the children
will be like my childhood.
Will suffer.
A lot of pressure
here. Question 10. Somebody's been through therapy lately. Question 10. Which character, the nemesis of Roadrunner, is continually frustrated by Roadrunner's ability to outrun him?
The coyote.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Wile
E. Coyote.
Wile E. Coyote, final answer.
Good answer.
And the kids will not suffer.
Yes.
Because she answered Wile E. Coyote. I was looking for the full name, and you got it.
What
you got
a fun
it right.
time.
It was a fun time.
Thanks, Steve Harvey.
Thank you for joining in. Go finish your donut.
I'm going to have the rest of the box.
Okay, go
Excuse
ahead.
Excuse me?
Man. Back after this. Tony's break.
Tony's breaking alignment, baby. So happy we have a place that we can actually trust. They're not going to rip you off when you need things done to your vehicle. Any size vehicle. I've seen Miatas in there. I've seen just dump trucks and fire trucks in there. They do it all to any vehicle that you need. It's not just brakes and alignment. They do any kind of repair or preventive maintenance that you need at Tony's Brake Alignment. Every single job that they do there comes with a warranty. Nay, a 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty. They've invested in the best diagnostic equipment and the best mechanics and the best everything.
They saved me $2,000.
They saved Tony $2,000. But they saved it by letting me actually work on his car. But that's a different story. Put your mind at rest. Go with the best. That's Tony's Brake and Alignment.
Back after this on News Radio 840 WHS.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.